not every band can be AC/DC, right? You know, most bands, unlike AC/DC, evolve over time. And sometimes we love how they evolve, Metallica, and sometimes we hate how they evolve, Metallica. And then there's those bands that, like, become completely unrecognizable. So this week, we're going to discuss 10 bands, probably a lot more, who sound completely different than they did when they started or during their heyday. Stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast coming at you live on Facebook. You need to know how to do that, don't you? So you want to go to lulombardirocks.com. That is how you can hang out with us live. We hang out with you guys. You guys throw some crazy comments and questions at us. We'll give shout-outs during the show. It's a lot of fun. So go to lulombardirocks.com, and you can get all the information there. From now on, that's the link. Ludini Rocks, Lou Lombardi Rock, I can't talk, LouLombardiRocks.com. It's been a rough life. So as I said at the top of the podcast, we're going to be talking about bands that have, like, completely, like, gone nuts and become completely, something completely different. And now for something completely different, I should get that soundbite.
You should.
Yeah. So that is the topic. Some of these are, like, I did some research. Some of these surprised the living crap out of me, and some of them I knew about. So these are always fun to do. But anyway, yeah, check that out. I want to give a shout out to my good buddy, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at Wolf's Customs. You want to go to wolfscustoms.online. This card has some white cloth spilled on it, but wolfscustoms.online. Get that guitar of yours.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's got, like, melted ink or something on it. But get that guitar painted. Chris, I have to send you mine. I just need a box. I've just been... Brother, like, stuff's been going sideways for me for a little while, so I will get it to you, but I want you to do my my Epiphone special for me. So I think I'm really excited to see what you're going to do. So what I'm going to do here in a week or so, I'm going to bring it down and I'm going to show it to you guys what it looks like, and then I'm going to box it up and send it to Wolf's Customs. It's wolfscustoms.online, and they're going to do something awesome to it. When I get it back, I'm going to show it to you guys. I'm going to play it. I'll play some shows with it, and it'll be really freaking awesome. You guys are going to freaking love it. Okay, so check that out, wolfscustoms.online. And I have the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6 with us in the house. What's up, Lily?
How's it going? I didn't do much this weekend that I'm going to talk about, other than Sunday I did go to the Smiling Moose for a great metal show with Gorod and Riparian, who are guys from here as well. So it was a great show.
What time was that show?
That started early. That started at about 6. Why are you laughing at me?
I was at the Smiling Moose at that time.
No, you fucking...
Yes, I was. I was downstairs having a drink.
Why didn't you come upstairs?
I had no idea.
Or text
I saw
me.
The band. I didn't even think about it. There was a band sitting next to me talking, and I was just kind of listening to their talk. It was really interesting. They were talking about how they were making more money off of Spotify versus Bandcamp. It was really interesting just to hear them talk. I just went down and had a drink. I'll tell you.
Okay.
We do an after show. Go to lulombardirocks.com. You can find out about that. We do an after show, and I'll get into more details about what I was doing at the Smiling Moose on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I was there watching a show.
So you were there seeing a show.
Yes.
Was the show good?
Show was great.
Cool.
I was very happy with it.
Cool. I should have stuck around. I just didn't. I wasn't.
I'm surprised
I didn't
see you.
I was kind of running out of shit to do. I was like, okay. I milled around. I went to the Exchange. I was going to buy Suspiria, the original Suspiria.
Yeah. I have it at home.
On DVD. Oh, you have it?
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie. I want to see it again. It's a trilogy with Suspiria, Inferno, and Mother of Tears, and I, like, want to get them all and sit down and have, like, a Dario Argento weekend or something, you know? So I started to do that, and it was stupid. Like,
he ended up where I was.
They have it for $24 there, and it's on Amazon for $18. Mm. I really wanted to try to find a used copy for like $10, but they didn't have it. So, do you have Blu-ray or do you have it on DVD?
It's DVD.
Yeah, I think it's just coming out on Blu-ray, because there's some, like, really insanely expensive version And it might be an import or something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe, or it's the 4K.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's probably, the 4K. Yeah. So, which you can't put a 4K disc in a regular. So I'm not even screwing with
it. I don't even know what that is.
They say, but anyways, YouTube, a lot of YouTubers who were talking about this say that you can't actually even see the 4K. Like your eye can't perceive it. I don't know.
Whatever.
But this is a podcast. It's audio. You know, I want to say this real quick. We're going to play the first band here in a second. We got some great bands. We've got Dirty Honey, which is a band I don't believe we played before. Keith the Hawk Hawkins turned me on to these guys. They're awesome. I think you're really going to dig them.
I love them.
And we're going to be playing Shun the Raven and Reign of Z and Lou Lombardi Strangelove tonight. So those are the bands we're going to have. But that's what we're going to be doing.
Okay.
I was going to tell you something, but I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
We'll come back to it. But make sure you guys go to LouLombardiRocks.com because there's all kind of cool stuff there, and you guys can hang out with us live and do stuff like that. If you're listening to Rock Rage Radio, we love you, Rock Rage. Thank you guys so much. They're having some issues with their Facebook. They're having some Facebook issues. So I think we've created a new page for Facebook. So I apologize, those of you not able to watch live on Rock Rage, but just go to LouLombardiRocks.com and you can check it out. You'll catch all the ones coming up. We usually publish just on Rock Rage over the, it usually shows up on the weekend. So you're not missing too much. You can come right on over and check it out. All right, guys, we're going to get into our topic here in a minute, but you know, those of you who are new to the show, I always play, a song first. And this is a band I really dig called Dirty, not Royal Honey.
No, the other one.
This is a band called Dirty Honey. And Keith and I were kind of shaking our heads at why these guys aren't signed. But I guess signed these days.
I mean, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, this is a great band. But check them out. This is Dirty Honey. When I'm gone on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll be right back. You're going to miss me when I'm gone, Lily.
I will. Every day. I will shed a tear.
When I moved to Nashville in August.
Oh, yeah. You mean where they had the tornado?
Yeah. I'm moving to Tornado Town. That is Dirty Honey. We played Royal Honey last week. The reason I didn't play this is like I thought it'd be too confusing to tell people like what bands are what. So I held off. I figured we'd already planned to play Royal Honey. Didn't want to play both. DirtyHoney.com. Simple. Easy to remember. And we're going to be playing Shun the Raven here in a little bit. But let's go ahead and get into tonight's topic of these bands, because this happens. Bands start out doing one thing, and then they go and become something else. And sometimes, in the case of certain bands, it's really cool.
Yes.
The evolution
sometimes
is really interesting. They do some great stuff. And then there are times when you go like, what were they thinking? And sometimes the evolution feels very natural, where you just, it's a kind of like cool progression. But by the time they get to their 20th album, they really are doing nothing like they did on their first album, even though it was a kind of cool, natural progression. So we're going to hit all that. So what do you got on your list first? What do you want to get into?
So I have, in my extensive research on this, I'm going to talk about the Go-Go's first. Because, well, I had to include a girl band, first of all, on the list. We, of course, know them as the poppy, upbeat girl band from the 80s with catchy songs that are super cute. But they weren't always pop. They actually started out in LA.
Our lips are sealed.
They are. They actually started out as a really grungy punk band.
Straight up punk, right?
Yes.
Punk band. We're using the word grungy in the sort of general word of meaning of the
word.
Not grunge. Not actually grunge.
Yeah. They played in rowdy clubs like the Whiskey. And as they progressed, got more popular and signed to a label, they dropped the abrasive style for a more commercial friendly, money making sound.
Yes.
So, yeah. Good stuff. And as I was reading, I find that I think it's location and year, like the decade that they're in, that made them start the way they were and then progress into it. Like, as I'm reading these, I'm like, that's because it's this year.
Well, they were what? They started like early 80s.
78.
Oh, 78. Late 70s, early
80s. So that makes sense that they might have started out punk.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that would make sense. That is not uncommon. A lot of punk artists evolved and became more pop. A guy and this guy isn't even on my list, but this is a guy that did that. And that was Billy Idol, who started out as a straight up punk rocker.
Even looked punk.
He made the story the way that it always goes is people say that he made punk pop because, you know, he was able to sort of like bring that punk attitude and
into
vocal styling but have songs that were ended up becoming very like big hits.
In the Go-Go's, you can tell underneath that it's punk.
Oh yeah, they have that vibe. Yeah, yeah. And if you go and look what the individual member, what was her name?
Belinda. Oh, the other one.
Jane Weiland.
Yeah.
The guitarist. Well, the music that she went and did solo definitely has that, you know, influence. It became college, right? Everybody knows is like alternative or grunge or whatever. That had been around. That was called college rock. That's what it was called. It was just on college stations. It just wasn't mainstream. So I'm going to mention one. This is a crazy one that I just learned today. And this blew my mind when I read this because I did not know this. Michael Bolton was a hard rock artist originally. He toured with Ozzy and Crocus.
Michael Bolton.
And he was doing like the rah, rah, rah heavy rock, but he was starving. he could not make any money. So he decided to kind of like go with a more like a sort of like soul, pop soul
little
kind
adult.
Of thing, more like adult contemporary kind of vibe and become more of a pop artist. And of course, we all know that he became huge after that. So, yeah, I had no idea.
I would have never guessed.
I always thought. I didn't even notice, but I remember when he broke, and I remember me and my friends cruising around. We were really into music. We were like, he has such a great voice. I really wish he would sing something that really
different.
Rocked.
And he did.
He used to. That didn't work
for him. And it didn't work. He didn't make money.
It didn't work for
him.
Again,
it might have been timing. Like,
it could have been wrong. It could have been just bad time. Also, excuse me, I think a lot of that type of music, correct me if I'm wrong, is usually performed by bands, with the exception of Ozzy and Ronnie James Dio and a couple of people like that who were came out of bands.
Right.
Generally, when you think of hard rock and heavy metal acts, you generally think of a band name and not a solo person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe that was the issue. I don't know. I couldn't begin to. I'm just speculating. I'm just talking out my ass. But yeah, I did not know that. So I'm sure a lot of you guys didn't know that either. So what do you got?
Next on my list is Ronnie James Dio, actually. And I don't know if this one necessarily counts, but I found it to be very interesting. I mean, he started being active in music in 1957. And he is one of the fathers of metal. He popularized the devil horns hand gesture. He is considered one of the true metal gods. But before all of that, if you dig around on the Facebooks and the YouTubes, you'll find a teenage Dio and friends singing a three-part harmony to "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow," which is super cool. I listened to it like 3 times today. I feel like his voice could do anything. But obviously, like I said, this one might not necessarily count because it was decades before he became the Dio that we know.
That wasn't like a record he put out.
No, but he did have his band and they sang this stuff. And I thought that was pretty cool because, again, this is a timing thing. He became active in music in 1957. That's what was popular. That's what he sang before he was metal.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That is a big, that it's shows such a giant good. Range. Yeah, it shows a giant range of talent. Another guy like that. And I will put this in as a sort of maybe honorable mention or whatever, is Brian Johnson. Because there are recordings of Brian Johnson singing like show tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. AC/DC Brian Johnson, yes. Yes, yes. And he sounded good. Like he could do that. I mean, that's not my kind of music, but he could do it.
He made it work.
Yeah, he could definitely do it. It didn't really sound like the way he sounds. It was he was using a different vocal style, but absolutely. So to piggyback off of that, yeah. Now I don't know if you have these guys on your list or not. Are you mostly hard rock and heavy metal kind of acts?
Most.
Okay, I will not. Then I won't mention these guys because I figured you're probably going to get to them. But I am going to mention REM.
Okay.
Because this is a band that by the time, they were doing Shiny Happy People and they were doing these like big, big hits in the early 90s, sounded nothing like the band from Athens, Georgia that they started out as. But they had this very nice, and Michael sang originally, he would mumble. That's what he did for the first 4 albums. do you know the song Can't Get There From Here? That was a song that was an in-between period where they were, that was their first kind of like, it got on the radio, it got on MTV, but the world.
Yeah, I'm not into
that's how he sang. And that whole Losing My Religion, all that kind of like high upper tenor type stuff that he's most was really recognizable for. That's not what he did at all. The band sounded completely different. But it was a kind of natural progression. When he kind of came out of that shell, that's really when they kind of exploded and became, much more radio friendly. You could understand what he was saying for the most part. Very interesting. It was a band that I think is very cool for the fact that these guys were in many ways like Metallica in the sense that they did not have, they had a giant following. They were packing shows with really zero radio. They like Metallica was doing for many years.
A lot of bands, but didn't.
And they didn't need the radio. They just didn't need it. But eventually they became big pop stars. But and a lot of people don't remember that early stuff. But go back and listen to some of their early records, and you'll be like, this isn't REM. No, it is. Go ahead.
So on my list, I have, I'm getting all the ones I don't really want to talk about out of the way, but the Goo Goo Dolls. They made a name for themselves, obviously, in the 90s as an alt-rock band.
Boy
and now
named Goo.
And more like an adult contemporary band now, with an attractive lead singer.
No, they're not adult contemporary.
They sound like
it. It's adult. It's called AAA, Album Adult Alternative. That's what it's called.
Crybabies. Anyway.
Crybabies.
Before they got really popular, they got their start making punk music with titles like Don't Beat My Ass with a Baseball Bat. So I thought that was interesting. And they were always set on having a weird name because they started out as the Sex Maggots. So they always wanted to have a weird name for their name for people to remember them.
I like
them,
but that. I want to be the Sex Maggots.
You can't.
How about the Sex Magnets?
That's not as cool. But yeah, so they started out as punk. Not so much punk now. They're more kind of... Every time I think of the Goo Goo Dolls, I think of crybaby music like the College Stations. So there it is.
I know. I'm going to counter that.
Go.
With Fleetwood Mac.
Nice.
This band, these guys were a blues band. And I remember, because I grew up with the late 70s Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
The Stevie Nicks, Lindsey Buckingham. Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But Fleetwood Mac has gone through multiple incarnations and has been successful multiple times. This is a very unique sort of thing in rock history with this band, because a lot of bands, when that happens, when you lose like the main guy, it's like you're done. Like, you know, you can't recapture anything. But John McVie and Mick Fleetwood were lucky SOBs, man, because first of all, when they started out with Peter Green, they were really great. And you guys know, everybody knows the song Oh Well, which has been covered by a lot of bands. The Rockets version is the most famous version of it. But a lot of people have done Oh Well. A lot of bands do it live, even though they don't record it. It's a rock standard. And, you know, and Peter Green is in the rock canon, is one of the great rock guitar players. But he had mental problems and... You know, he had a combination of mental problems and too much acid. And then there was Bob Welch, and they had hits with Bob Welch as well. And they became a completely different band with Bob Welch. They totally rearranged what they were doing, and they had hits with him as well. And then they were touring, and then Bob went and joined a cult in the middle of the tour. They were screwed. And then finally the Fleetwood Mac that we all know with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. But they had hits, and they did. Now, that was, of course, the biggest version of the band is with those two characters. But they sound, if you were to go back and listen to the Peter Green Fleetwood Mac, you'd be, it isn't even the, it's not the same band at all. not even close. Now, they were known for playing live. They would, you know, whip out Oh Well, you know, with Lindsey singing it. Lindsey's a dynamite guitar player as well.
Oh yeah.
It's really interesting, and it's unusual for a band to have go through that many incarnations and still be able
survive.
To survive. Yeah, have success. Like, Van Halen is a kind of, you know, we everybody kind of holds them up as a kind of really unique thing. Like, they were huge with David Lee Roth, and they were huge with Sammy Hagar. But hey, don't forget about Fleetwood Mac did that about 10 years before. So anyways, what we're going to do is we're going to play another song, and we're going to come back. This is a band we played a few weeks ago called Shun the Raven, Tale of Two Tales. We're going to come right back on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Please go to lulombardirocks.com, and that's where you're going to find all the cool stuff and the cool people. Thank you.
Once in the mouth. Don't speak, don't be afraid. Caught out the eyes. Don't be gunning away. When I'm awake, when I see only then I'll change. Cause it's the way that I'm whole. Cause I can feel the oppression. I deal with the pressure. I don't think I can deal with the innocence of all the scripts. I confess to give me great pleasure.
Take Flight, everybody. That is Shun the Raven. Take Flight with Shun the Raven. I think that is a very cool band, and it sort of put me in mind of a band that we played a week or so ago that we need to play again. It's Black Laurel. So we need to play some Black Laurel again. We'll get them in next time. ShunTheRaven.com. Open the show with Dirty Honey, DirtyHoney.com. And we're going to play a little Reign of Z before it's all said and done. So we are talking about these bands that have, you know, sort of like what's that called? Multiple personality disorder. You know, who just all of a sudden we're somebody else now. So whatever that was you liked, we don't do that anymore. We're this now. There's some bands that evolved that still kind of kept their sound, but went in directions that I didn't really like. And one of them for me is Def Leppard. I really want them to go back to like High and Dry and Pyromania and like do that again. But
because you didn't like Hysteria.
I it's not that I liked Hysteria. I'm like, okay, this is cool, but let's get back to rock and roll. But anyway, so what do you got next?
Well, I'm actually going to go ahead and mention Def Leppard while you're on that from 1977. And I love Hysteria, so that's shut up. But they are, like you said,
I liked it, but I just,
they're literally one of the ones with a split personality. People think that there's the reason. Oh gosh, I can't even talk. People think the reason is there's two reasons. One, Rick Allen lost his arm in a tragic Corvette accident, but the band was determined to continue with him. Just get a custom drum kit made, everything's fine. Blah blah blah. And the other reason is Steve Clark, who was their principal songwriter and lead guitarist, died of a lethal mix of drugs and alcohol in 1991, which sort of tilted the band's sound to pop. So they think those are the two. People think those are the two reasons why they switched.
A lot of people feel that, like, Steve Clark was like, all you had to do is look at Steve Clark, and he looked rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had the whole slung the Les Paul all the way down his knees like Jimmy Page, had the attitude, the, you know, kind of like, you know, you could tell he probably spent a lot of time in detention.
But they were much heavier. They were like AC/DC. They were like UFO. They were like Thin Lizzy. They were heavier, and they changed. And that's those are people's reasons.
And I would definitely with the Steve Clark thing for sure.
Yeah. So those are the two reasons people think that they changed, and they are the split personality of these bands. So.
You've changed.
And I don't care because I love their ballad heavy Hysteria. So shut up.
I did too, but like it was one record. Can we please go back to playing rock? Thank you.
I know.
Because now you've got a whole record. You can go out on tour and you can play rock till you drop, and you can play all these awesome songs from High and Dry and all these songs. And then you can mix in this cool ballads and it would be like a great thing.
And then
but now it's like
wonderful.
ballad. And then it became Night Ranger. which is a band that like really disappointed me because Don't Tell Me You Love Me is.
That's such a good song.
That's really great, and the guitar work on that, and it's a great song. It's a great riff. Everything about it is awesome. And then, you know, they've talked about this. They talked about how Sister Christian killed their career. Like, then that's all the record label wanted them to do was like ballads. Can you guys do more ballads? Can you do
they
more ballads?
They made a lot of money off of that. That's
you know, and they've talked about it. They said it was a mistake. They've regretted what they've done. Well, with they tour now, you know, Jack Blades is with them, and Brad Gillis. Jeff Watson's not on guitar anymore. He's got his own thing going on. But
I saw them twice last year, and they didn't play all the right norms, which I thought was cool.
Rock and roll. Yeah, that's what they like to play. They're like, we are rock musicians. but anyways, Def Leppard is definitely, and I kind of like segued into a little bit of Night Ranger there, because they're kind of another band that kind of like. These bands didn't completely change.
No. They just split the personality.
But I'm going to bring up somebody. Are you going to talk about Scorpions?
No. You can talk about it.
Okay. Scorpions, this is a band that sounds nothing like how they started. They were more of a psychedelic, progressive kind of thing. Uli Roth is a kind of a.
I love him.
Yeah, he was kind of like an Yngwie. He is like a precursor to Yngwie.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if Yngwie cites Ritchie Blackmore a lot as an influence, but I really think that Uli Roth is an influence on Yngwie. It was a totally different band sound. And Michael Schenker was in the group at that time, too. Just a totally different thing. And it really took them a while. They bounced around a lot before they really settled on that, like, Rock You Like a Hurricane type thing that became their
signature.
The Zoo and all the songs that they did that became really
so much.
And they developed this kind of sexy, sultry kind of not sultry, but this kind of sex.
It's sultry.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's like it's getting busy music.
Stripper music.
Yeah, for rockers. All right, it's not getting. It's not like the Luther Vandross getting busy but it's getting busy music like for rockers. You know, for the chicks who wore the jean jackets, you know what I mean? And
I have a jean jacket.
You know what I mean? Had the feathered hair. If you were trying to get with one of those girls, you'd put on a Scorpions record. those girls didn't want to hear no Luther Vandross. They wanted to hear the Scorpions. And you can still, in Pittsburgh today, you can turn on the electric crunch. You can turn on the electric lunch and hear say, Michelle, can you go get some Scorpions on for lunch? And that's what they call them in Pittsburgh. They call them Scorps.
We do.
Hey, Scorps are coming down. You can't get down Starlight's these Scorps.
Nobody knows what Starlight is anymore.
I think the reason we don't make any money in this podcast is because I make too many Pittsburgh jokes.
And nobody translate.
It doesn't translate to people like in Germany.
All right.
So I the Scorps are on my list. Scorps. Not the Scorps. Scorps. Hey, Scorps.
Oh,
MG. Get down here, Scorps.
Hey, it's your fault. You're the one that talks Pittsburgh.
We're gonna do a shot. We're gonna do a shot, and you can't.
Well, we'll do the shot after I talk.
It's Sunday, and you're in church. Blah blah.
We're gonna talk about Pantera before we do a shot.
Oh yeah, this is a good one. Do some Pantera. Hey Michelle, could you do some Pantera before you do a short there?
Little 1981 action there. Before this band was the Texas metal band that we all know and love. If you dig far enough into their beginning, you'll see that they started as a hair metal band.
Yep.
That sang songs about magic and outer space. So yay. They had a different singer at the time, but the core of the band was the same, Vinny and Dimebag. So they were hair metal. They changed from hair metal to heavy.
Yeah, they did that
for
like
the better.
Heavy groove metal
for the better.
Really liked, man. That Cowboys from Hell record.
That's my favorite.
That's off the freaking hook.
So that's one of the ones I had was like this. Someone on here mentioned we should talk about Van Halen because of the total 180, but
okay,
I don't know.
Yeah, what do we got? Who's what? Let's get shout outs.
Yeah.
Now that you talked about it.
All right. So Bill
Damiani. We're an hour and 20 minutes in. I mean, we're 40 minutes in. We haven't done shout outs.
Bill Damiani.
Bill Damiani. We love you.
Chris Thunderwolf Dodson.
Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. We love you.
Billy Altman.
Billy Altman, you're the greatest.
James Conway.
James Conway, you're awesome.
Norman's Rare Guitar T-shirt. Okay.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Norm's Rare Guitar T-shirt. This was a gift to me from my original podcast host, Kevin, like many years ago. So I don't think I've ever won on the podcast.
I don't know if you have or not. No. Morris Foster says hello.
Hello.
Mark J says Opeth, but I don't know enough to explain Opeth on
wait
the
a
show.
Minute. You know, whenever I hear Opeth, I think that if somebody trying to say Opeth...
Right.
But they can't say it. So it's like Mike Tyson trying to say opus. Opeth.
I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable enough to explain them. So
those guys need to change their name. Good.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark Stratton asked who the band was, but you right after the music stopped, you gave him the name of the band that
we started with Royal Honey, then it was Shun the Raven.
And he says, you can still rock in America.
Absolutely.
But he is also the one that says Van Halen, Total 180, got to talk about them here. And ZZ Top.
Oh, you know what? Let's do it. Let's just get into, because I watched this awesome, do you have Netflix?
Yeah, but I never watch Netflix.
Watch that documentary about ZZ Top. It's so good.
All
and there's
right.
no other, there is no drama.
Well,
they're
yeah.
just like three guys.
They're three old men
They
now.
Like to play music. And for the most part, it was no really, Frank Beard. Is absolutely freaking hilarious. Yeah. Was,
the one without the beard.
I was like, I don't know. I think I was doing a lot of acid that day. You know, he just mentions drugs like completely offhanded.
He
like,
care.
Like it's just like part of his life. But he was the only guy that really, he got jacked up on heroin. He had to go to rehab. But other than that, like, they've never had any big, like, fallouts. They never broke up. They are the longest. They have the, how do I want to say this? They have the most consistent lineup of any rock band, even more than the Stones.
And, you know,
more than Rush, anybody, ever.
They always look happy on stage, too. Always.
But they did. Their sound evolved, and it was very interesting because when they took this three-year hiatus where Frank had to get clean, and they were just burnt out. They had done four records in a row. They had been touring for like 4 years straight. They were exhausted. And while they were away, Billy went to Europe, and he went to places where he heard all kind of punk rock. And he was really intrigued by punk and new wave and stuff like that. So when they come back, all of a sudden they start playing. They come up with this, you know the song Master Mechanic?
Yeah.
That's like a really, it's really weird. They don't play it a lot on the radio, but it gets some airplay. But that was the beginning of them going like, we want to do different stuff. And they were like, they were interested in synthesizers. They wanted to switch it up. And it just coincided with MTV. And they knew a guy who was a filmmaker who was he was like a friend of their manager's. This guy had made films, and they brought him in, and they started making the videos to Give Me All Your Lovin' and Legs and all this stuff like that. And the rest was, they say, was history. But they did. They became a much more, they were an 80s band.
Very commercial.
This band from Texas that becomes a super commercial 80s band. But they still retained that boogie.
The vibe.
They still had that in. And so it kept them really unique. And then eventually, as all that stuff sort of kind of went away, they kind of returned to a more heavy blues record. And they've got a song on the Dusk Till Dawn record soundtrack that is a kind of a return for them to their, like, and it's called She's Just Killing Me. And if you've never heard it, go get the soundtrack and listen to that song. It is I believe Dusty Hill sings it. It's off the hook. It's very heavy. And it's like, we're back. You know, we are back to rock and roll. But anyway, so yeah, they did that. And you want to talk about Van Halen a little bit?
So Van Halen, obviously, they switched their lineup a little bit with lead singers. Started off with David Lee Roth.
A little bit.
With, I don't know how to describe him. Very great, wonderful lead man. More sort of like in-your-face rock and roll sex, basically. And then when we got to Sammy Hagar, I don't even remember the years now. Oh, my gosh. They switched over to Sammy Hagar. He did a lot more ballads, but his voice is just amazing. He was in Montrose and tons of other bands. And I can't even get into this because this is a whole podcast by itself.
Right. And we have done. I would refer you guys to our podcast on this. We did a podcast of Van Halen versus Van Hagar.
But they definitely switched styles.
I heard David Lee Roth on the Joe Rogan show put it this way.
Okay, I'm ready.
He said, when I was in Van Halen, we sang Ain't Talking About Love. When Sammy Hagar was in Van Halen, they sang Why Can't This Be Love?
So yes, it was a little more.
So that really, and I was like, whoa.
Sex and
that
love.
That really sums it up. Yeah, David Lee Roth is all about the sex. Sammy Hagar was like, well, I want to have some love. Yeah. We can't just have sex.
Very laid back.
I love
very
you.
Yeah. Partier. So, let's drink some Cabo.
And the thing about Sammy is he's a partier and everything, even to this day. But he did bring in more pop sensibilities to what they did, which if you listen to his work in Montrose, though, you really wouldn't get that because that's straight up rock and roll. Mm-hmm. So I think that Sammy has like an amazing range as a songwriter. He can do a lot of stuff. So
I'm definitely pro Hagar. So
and they wanted to evolve. This was an example of a band.
Eddie wanted to move on.
Let's do different stuff. Let's mix up. So, you know, they did something like Jump, which David Lee Roth didn't like. He thought it was like, you're a guitar hero. Get away from that stupid keyboard. Like, nobody wants to hear that crap. Mm. But, you know, and they went on to have great success both ways. And they did. They did change their sound with Sammy Hagar. I don't hear it as drastic, though, as like what the Scorpions did or what REM did, right, or what I think we're going to talk about. You going to talk about Judas Priest?
Yeah, they're on my list.
So we're going to talk about Judas Priest next. This is a band that really was nothing.
We all knew they are, right?
Okay. We know who they are, but like they're nothing. They really evolved. Go ahead.
Again, this makes sense with what I said about the time because they did form in 1969.
69, dudes!
Prior to creating the leather and studs image that screams heavy metal, Priest were decked out in bell bottoms. Even gayer what I read now. Bell bottoms, flowy shirts, and feathered hats. The music still had muscle, but they were more rooted in the traditional rock and roll with psychedelic and progressive movements, not so much heavy metal. And obviously that's a far cry from how we know them now. Maybe he just liked to dress in flowy stuff. But I think this is one of the things where it, like, the time comes in, because 1969 was a time when they listened to that sort of music and then they evolved to the,
right,
you know, fist in the air.
Right.
Let's wear the leather.
Absolutely. I mean, Sabbath was a blues jam band. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't, nobody knows them as that because they didn't record any records like that.
Right.
But, you know, well, but Priest is a band that evolved on record. That's kind of what we're talking about, is bands that, like, you know, it doesn't really count. If, like, we talked a little bit about, you know, Ronnie James Dio stuff doing
but
stuff
that was
before,
still fine.
But these are bands that did stuff on record. I'm going to play one more song. I'm going to come back and wrap up. And I want to hit some of these kind of more fun pop kind of situations that I think are hilarious. And we're going to come back in a minute. But this is a band, and we love this band. This is one of our like favorites on the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. This is Reign of Z from Pittsburgh. I said they're from Pittsburgh, but for a long time, Pittsburgh bands had a sound. And nowadays, the Pittsburgh bands are like all over the place, and a lot of them have a really what I would call national sound. It's not like identifiable as from the city. It's just really big and full, and this is awesome. It's one of those bands, Reign of Z, on the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus.
I'm shaking as I lay my head to rest.
Our good friends Reign of Z on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Fantastic.
I just love the band Innocence. And you can find all these folks on Spotify. And if you search Ludini Rock and Roll Circus on Spotify, not only is our podcast there, but we create a separate playlist just for the music. So if you like, I like the music, I don't like you guys. You can just listen to the bands. So that was Reign of Z. And their website is, this is a band.
Hers is easy.
So far, all the bands tonight have got the web thing under control. Dirty Honey, right? DirtyHoney.com. Exactly. That's what you
easy
should have.
Easy peasy.
Shun the Raven. ShunTheRaven.com. And then Reign of Z, RainofZ.com. Like, come on.
Thanks,
like,
guys. Made it easy.
Some of these bands are like, you know,
XBQ.bandcamp.uk.ca.
Suck my ass, stop. You know, like, yeah, come on. Get your crap together. What's going around? So want to wrap up with a few more things. You got any more you want to talk about, Lil, before we get out of here?
I got all the ones I wanted to hit, but I do want to talk about this briefly whenever we get a chance.
Do you want to do that on the other show?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Either way.
So when you guys go to lulombardirocks.com, you're going to hear Lily discuss this book right here.
If you give a kitty a cocktail.
If you give a kitty a
cocktail. Not a children's book.
So we're going to be talking about that, plus some other stuff. So go to lulombardirocks.com. A couple I want to mention here. They're just kind of fun, funny things. Linkin Park. As a band that really evolved, completely changed their sound by the end. We mentioned Judas Priest. Kings of Leon. I bought the second Kings of Leon album. It's a double record. And it's completely like, and it's really like garage rock. Like really in your face. Really rough singing and everything. And this is the band that went on to have big hits with like Your Sex is on Fire and these songs that were very, 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 very pop. So they completely changed. Red Hot Chili Peppers, another band started out from in the 80s as a hardcore, like punk, funk kind of band that became a big pop.
And they do still incorporate the funk.
They do incorporate it here and there. Korn started out as new metal and then started to bring in dubstep.
Yeah, later. I don't know.
Some classic bands. What a lot of people remember the Bee Gees for the Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack and Barry Gibb singing all that high falsetto stuff. Well, none of that was there when they said they had big hits as more of a kind of Beatlesque pop kind of group.
David Bowie was doing the Monkees type stuff before he was.
Well,
David Bowie
changed like every record.
I know he changed like every five minutes. Yeah.
He was like schizophrenic. This is an interesting fact as I was doing my research. Say Iggy Pop started out as a blues drummer. He played with some very famous blues artists.
That makes sense to me.
And he was a drummer. The Beastie Boys started out as a punk rock band. None of that hip hop stuff, that like rap stuff that they ended up doing. They weren't doing any of that. And then finally, I think there's one more here. Oh, Sepultura started out, became more progressive as they went on, more refined kind of sound. But the band, the last person I want to mention is, I'm sorry guys, this is not rock at all.
I just want to
mention this because I think it's hilarious. Katy Perry started out as a Christian singer,
and now she's all dirty and stuff in her songs.
Yeah, and her name was, it wasn't. It was Katie something else. It wasn't Katy Perry. It was something else. But she had a little. But she was like, she wanted to do what kind of Amy Grant did, but she took it like a lot farther. So very interesting.
Catherine Hudson.
That was it. Catherine Hudson started out as a nice, you know, Christian. You know,
oh yeah. Now she's shooting rockets out of her boobs.
Well, you know,
whipped cream.
Lily, what do you shoot out of your boobs?
Nothing, and I'm mad about it.
All right, guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Please go to lulombardirocks.com. That's where you're going to find all about our awesome community, all the stuff about the podcast, as well as some great music. So go to lulombardirocks.com. We are going to be doing our after show here in just a couple of minutes. Lily, what do you got? I know you have stuff going on. You have your own show. What's going on?
Please tune in on Thursdays to Hot Licks with Lily 6 on Rock Rage Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can download the app for free on your smartphone or just go to rockrageradio.com. I don't have any exciting interviews this Thursday to listen into. I do have some new music, though. But in the next 2 weeks, I will also have some good interviews to share with you. So,
all right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out. Shout out one more time to Rock Rage Radio. Thank you guys so much. Go to rockrageradio.com, download the app, and you can hear great guitar-driven rock like 24/7, as well as our shout-out to our sponsor, Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Get that custom paint job done on your guitar like now. All right, guys, have a great week. Shout out to Dirty Honey, Shun the Raven, and Reign of Z, Lou Lombardi Strains. I will catch you guys on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Spiritual thing, baby mama.